Well, Lord willing, we're going to get into finishing up here tonight in Hebrews, the fifth chapter. So if we turn there, the fifth chapter of Hebrews. And again, Lord is just so, again, encouraging us of the better, and the best. And over this past week, the Lord's brought a couple people into my life, and sweet Christians. One man saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and another man saved and been in the Word, I think all of his life's been a Christian pretty much. But they're not feeding on the meat of God. And it just is amazing. And they're starving. And we know that, but when you get in contact with, you know, your brothers and sisters. I mean, they're your brother and sister. Just think in the natural. Your brother and sister, if they were starving, you'd want to give them food. And you just, it breaks your heart to see them in that state. And nothing condemning. I mean, absolutely the love of God just pouring out to, Lord, get a hold of them. And I know that God's faithful. That's the one thing. God's faithful. And if he knows that you have a heart for him, he'll give it to you. And again, as badly as I want to tell you about that young man that came and visited us on Sunday, about when there's a ready heart, let me tell you something. He's always prepared to fill it. And he doesn't just fill it. He goes way beyond. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, well, let's get into our study. And I think we'll start again from the, we'll start reading from the fifth chapter. And again, in the this wonderful study, we saw that Christ is better than the angels. Chapter 1, chapter 2, he was the perfect sacrifice. Chapter 3, better than Moses. Chapter 4, the better rest, the perfect rest. When we cease from our own works, we enter into God's rest. I mean, it couldn't be any more clear that it's grace. And we're going to have that theme. Well, the grace of God is the theme throughout the whole word, but especially in Hebrews. And the fifth chapter, as we studied last week, was that we had the better high priest. And more importantly, we had the last and final and complete and the I am and the finished and the beginning and the end and Alpha and Omega high priest. Praise God. So he doesn't need any help. He doesn't need any help, does he? He'll finish the work he's begun in you. You got to let him have it. Praise the Lord. Chapter 5, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? And he's always there. Remember, you get out of the way, he's there. Jesus, he's there. Amen. For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. Now, last week, I want to just make this very clear in this third verse. Again, it's speaking of Aaron here offering the sacrifice for the people. And obviously, Aaron had to offer the sacrifice for himself and his own sins because he was merely the priest at that time. But he wasn't the I am. He wasn't the complete. He wasn't the it is finished. The priest. He wasn't the fullness of Melchizedek. And I made a point last week, and sometimes my wife says I get a little bit ahead of myself, and I apologize if that's the case. But I would hope that when I said that because of the joy that was set before him, I was obviously speaking about Christ. And in this moment, and in the moment that Christ died for our sins, he was doing it for himself as well, but not for his sins, but because of the joy that was set before him. Do you understand that he couldn't partake in his fullness with us if that didn't occur? He was more anxious to do it than we were to receive it. Do you understand what great love he has for us? So that's by the grace of God. I hope that we understand through that. Thank you, Lord. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers, supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Again, that's the ultimate trust that Christ had in his Father. Hallelujah. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. We left off in this 10th verse, and I'll read through. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good. Again, in this 10th verse, we return to the statement of verse 6, Melchizedek. This, again, is the priest king, the perfect priest and sacrifice all in one. That we see in called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now going on to verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Now this again is sounding much like Peter, 2 Peter 3, 16 through 18. And again, I'd like to go back and read it. And again, as I was saying, well, Lord, we went back there so many times. The Lord said, well, you know, on the span of 3 years, night and day, Paul went in there and reminded him again and again and again. And by the grace of God, he said, son, I'm going to remind you over and over and over again to these victories that you can have in your life. These need to be planted in our life, that they're streams of living water that are flowing out of our heart towards him. But again, it says, as also in his epistles. Again, this is Peter speaking of Paul, 2 Peter 3:16. Epistles speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also with the other scriptures unto their own destructions. Again, believe. This is about believing. If we try to analyze God, it's not believing. We couldn't do it anyways. It's of the heart. I have to, by the grace of God, accept that it's been done, that it's been finished, that it's been completed. And if God said it was so, it's so. There's nothing to argue about that. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And again, how contrary that is to when we have perfect rest or godly rest. It's when we cease from our own work. When we rest, when we realize that it is His faith, it's His grace, it's everything that's in Him that gives us the ability to do anything. When we again step out in any way on our own steadfastness, we will fall. It will be wood, hay, and stubble. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Again, you can have all the head knowledge that you could ever have. You could know every verse and every chapter here. But if it's not truth in love, it will never get here. It will never work effectually in your life. It will never connect when I'm giving testimony, ministry, or anything. If the love of God's not in this, it won't work in your life. Hallelujah. But again, this verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. There's an impairment. There's a problem here with some of these who Paul is speaking to. And it goes on to talk about here in a minute that they're babes. And I thought, you know, if any of you have children, you understand what I'm talking about. They are dull of hearing. Sometimes I wonder if my children can hear. Did you hear me? Are you listening? No, you're not. And it just goes on and on. But you know what I'm saying. You know, as I always remember Brother Hill talking about poor Wendell and Charlotte, and I'll see, I'll continue on. So now it'll be embarrassment. Now, Charlotte, I'm going to count to three. And so she counted one, two, three, and there was Charlotte walking out the door, right? You know, her back turned to her. Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. But that's how you are as a Christian when you're dull of hearing. You neglect. Think about how the theme comes back and back and back. See, it's a pattern. And he's reminding us again and again, how could we neglect so great a salvation? It's there. It's all over us. It's everywhere. Hallelujah. You know? And not to be able and to be encouraged to feed on that. It's a privilege. It is, isn't it? But what a shame when we neglect it, when we let those things slip. And you know, as a Christian, it's true. You become weak. You become as a baby. You become feeble. And it can be immediate. The devil is really sly. He'll get in on something just like that. He'll see you starting to stand in your own pride or your own merit or something of that nature. He'll get that right away. He'll see you fearing. He'll get that right away. There's a lot of different emotions and fears that the devil's got to choose from. He's got flavors of any kind. Okay? Again, in truth. But the kids don't listen. And the reason is because they're not mature. Attention span. My kids have heard me say you have the attention span of a flea. Now, come on, pay attention. Stay with me now. Come on. And they're off looking at other things. Allow God to be our attraction. Allow the truth to be something that we're really enamored with. Hallelujah. And only He can do that with you. And it's not, you know, a lot of people try to approach the Word of God like a robot. Well, we're going to, you know, I'm going to go study. I'm going to go do this. It's not how we approach it. It's love. You can't worship Him if He doesn't draw you. I hope you know that. And that's all along the way. It's His drawing. It's His love. Man, I want it. You know what I mean? It's going in and getting that. Hallelujah. But it's His drawing. Praise God. We grow in grace. Babies don't hear the word. They're unrest. They struggle. They're led away easily. They fall. They get into trouble. I was thinking how, you know, how people can lead kids away with lollipops and just take them. Trying to find, you know, I've lost my puppy dog. Those types of things. And we think, you know, as an adult, you know, whatever. Well, what about a child in Christ? Well, did you know that you're predestinated? Well, that sounds good. Or did you know that if you don't keep the Ten Commandments, that you're going to lose your salvation? Well, that sounds good. You see what I'm saying? That's a child. That's not somebody who's mature in the things of God. That's not somebody who's growing up. Somebody who's rightfully dividing the truth. And if that's what Christ means to you, it's not going to happen. It's not going to fully develop in your life. He's not going to mature in us. Hallelujah. But immature believers don't receive the full promise because they dwell mostly in unbelief. There's no understanding. As I was mentioning about those two men this week, I thought, what a tragedy. The one was working in my home, and a sweet man, saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, would you pray for us for lunch? Precious prayer right at the end. Lord, save us from death. Didn't you say you were saved? I didn't jump all over my... Lord didn't have me do that. It wasn't because I wanted that work finished in my house. But no, really. The Lord had me just be quiet and just encourage you. And Lord willing, I think a week from this Sunday, he might join us. Isn't that precious? That's wonderful. But save us in death. I pray you never have to say, Lord, save me in death. It happened the moment you accepted Him as your Savior. Is done. And we're going to talk about that maybe, Lord willing, tonight. Maybe. about that. And precious. Then this other man that I appreciate him was praying for breakfast. Now, I'm going to have to start praying. I'm going to quit asking them to pray. And he said, Lord, forgive us our sins. Oh, my. I pray we know, as a child of God, he can't remember them. Now, it's precious to go to him with a repentant heart and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I failed. I did these things. He's great to talk to. But as I always love having that picture that I know God gave me, I'm just sitting on the lap of Jesus and he's scratching his head and he still says, man, I still don't know what you're talking about. I just love you. You never got out of my arms. I'm just right there with you. Hallelujah. See, people might think that's kid stuff. People might think that's just silly talk. Well, I'll tell you what, that's real to me. And I know I'm sitting in his arms right now. And I'm just so thankful that he's got us. He's got us in his hand. God's got us in his hand. And there ain't nobody plus you, Lord. Verse 12. For when, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And Lord willing, we may get down to that here in the second verse of the sixth chapter this evening. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. To me, this was like what could have been. What could have been? What a sad thought. It's just like, you know, Brother Copley, his great thought was, what if I'd have missed it? What if I'd have missed it? Hallelujah. But these ones here are saying, what could have been? Only feeding on that milk? Oh, you neglected? You didn't enter into the promise and believe? They had been given so much. They had been given so much, but much was expected of them. Hallelujah. They should have had understanding and teach, but the result was that they got right back to the beginning. And that's just like Christians today. They get saved, they get filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they go right back into self-effort. They go right back into thinking, well, I better do something. I got to keep something. That's why people keep looking for religions. That's why Baptists become Mormons. It fits right in with the flesh. Well, that was the one that was the most self-righteous. That sounds good to me. It's because they're babes. The Word is the only thing that's ever going to keep you. It's the only thing that's ever going to keep you spiritual. It's only going to keep the spiritual fed. You get out of it and you're going to fall away from that. They become unlearned. As in Galatians chapter 3. And I want to turn there. Galatians chapter 3. Where it says, they become bewitched and they never grow. But all over that chapter 3. And I'll just point out a couple verses as I was just looking at it before I came out here. Actually, in chapter 2, verse 21, it says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. The word frustrate means to make void. As a Christian, if you don't have faith and you don't believe in these things, you can make void the grace of God. And what did we read there in 2 Peter? The only way I can grow is in the grace of God. So if I took that out, if I make that void, I'm never going to grow. I'm never going to get on with the things that God wants to show me that I can enter into. Verse 3 of chapter 3. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? No wonder in verse 1 he called them, O ye foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Ye ran well. Who hinders you? You see what self-righteousness can do? But that's the majority of the themes that are preached from pulpits today. It truly is. Oh, yeah, you're saved by grace. And if they get the Holy Spirit, oh, that's wonderful, the Holy Spirit. That's wonderful, and he got you that by grace. But now if you want God's best, here's what you got to do. And I kid you not, that's out there. That is out there. And it's robbing people. Don't let it rob you. Your mind, your flesh will want to yield to that. But it's the grace of God that will give us any inheritance. Hallelujah. Legality stunts spiritual growth. Only in God's rest, ceasing from works, and in grace will we grow. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4. Over and over in the Word of God, they talk about this. So, Lord willing, we'll point out these things. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 1 through 4. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Nope, couldn't do it. But as only unto carnal, fleshly. Even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Let that speak to you. See how it uses that word bear it again? Does that sound familiar? When Jesus was talking to his disciples? He said, there's many things I have to say unto you, but you can't bear it yet. You can't understand it. You can't enter in until you get the Comforter in your life, until that Holy Spirit comes, gets in your life. Don't let the devil fool you. And it's not just a one-time thing like we talked about last Sunday. It's the infilling. It's the continual filling. It's just being in the Spirit. And you know what that means. It's just constantly. It's meditating. He makes Jesus beautiful. He got you saved. It took the Holy Spirit. I hope we understand that. He had to come to us to even accept Christ as our Savior. He's the one that paints that love picture in your heart of God. Hallelujah. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you. Now think of these things that are carnal things that keep you in a baby state. Envy and strife, divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? For one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? We've been talking about unity of the Spirit in this assembly. By the grace of God, we're not carnal. It's not because we're about Jess or about anybody else in this thing. We're about Jesus Christ. And we've entered into that. And I think God has come down in a mighty sovereign way with His Holy Spirit. And He's encouraged us in His love. We're looking up. Aren't you thankful you're not carnal? Hallelujah. In that respect. Now that doesn't mean, like I said, oh, you're finished. We're throwing roses at you and it's all done. No. He's going to fight us all the time. But as our precious pastor said, he said, keep looking up. When you look across the pews at one another, that's when you're going to have a problem. That's when we're going to have envy and strife, isn't it? And what Christians, what do they feed on when there's envy and strife? Milk. Just because you're sitting there feasting at the meat doesn't mean you're always going to feast at the meat just because you're so special. Do you get that? And you notice it was you so special. You're so special in Him. If we get out of the way again, get in the grace of God, realizing that it's Him I'm resting in, He'll bring me the meat. I'm feeding on the meat at that time. Hallelujah. Okay. We're driving that home tonight. But feeding on all the Word of God, don't skimp. We talked about the other, a week or two ago, about that wedding dress. I don't know if some people liked what I said about that wedding dress. But the dress is not going to be altered. Mm-mm. It's you that need to be altered. Okay? And if you're too skinny and too wimpy, you're not going to fit in that dress. As the Lord had me seeing, if that was ever time to be the plump bride, you need to be the plump bride. You know, they're all getting skinny for it. Hallelujah. But Lord willing, we'll talk a little bit about that Shulamite in Song of Solomon maybe this evening. And you'll see how beautiful she was. Because she was just full of the love of God. She was full of everything that God ever wanted her to be. Hallelujah. Okay. Verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, this sure isn't the workman rightly dividing the truth. That's in 2 Timothy 2:15. And we need to understand that we are in a fight. We're in a fight. We're in a fight. The good fight of faith. Hallelujah. That we, by the grace of God, can finish our course with joy. And we will never have the strength to do it without meat. Milk gets you a palm. Revelation, those that have the palm, get you a palm. Meat's going to get you a crown. It's that simple. How much clearer does the Word of God need to be? And I know that's why we're here tonight. And I believe that this still encourages us, even though we know it. Because again, we get complacent and just knowing it in our heads. When you're in love with somebody, you never get tired of seeing them, do you? I hope not. I hope not. Well, I don't want to get tired of seeing Jesus. Every time I read Scripture, I see Him. By the grace of God and the Holy Spirit. Better never grow old. Never grow old. Mm-mm. See, that's when you leave that first love. Okay? Praise God. And notice here, it's the word of righteousness. I just always love underlining that and looking at that. The word is the only thing that's ever going to be righteous. The only thing in your life that ever is righteous is the Word of God. How much are you going to get? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It's impossible to please God without faith. Hallelujah. Okay, 14th verse. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Okay, I love this one. We're going over to Song of Solomon. And just going to pick out a few verses here. This is Song of Solomon. And let's get over to, better mark that. Well, in the fourth chapter, we're not going to read that fourth chapter. You're going to see here that, again, this is the Shulamite woman. She is fully developed. She's striking in every way. You read about these things. Man, if you ever wanted to know sweet poetry, you know, if you ever wanted to sweeten up on your wife a little bit, read the Song of Solomon, I guess. Hallelujah. But more importantly, as a Christian, if you want to see what he thinks of you. And this is amazing stuff. It's amazing stuff. What he sees in you. He loves you. He loves you. Sometimes I can't even almost contain myself. Thank you, Lord. Verse 9 of that fourth chapter. After she's so beautiful, this is she says, "Thou hast ravished my heart." That's the groom talking. This is what we're after. Did you know that you can ravish the heart of Jesus? I'm telling you, man. It's awesome. What he's calling us into. To ravish the heart of Christ. Of I am. I just love to think about it. I love to think about who, by the grace of God, I have a chance to marry. I have a chance to be one with. It's true. It's absolutely true. More real than me standing before you this evening. But in chapter 7, if you turn the page, you go to that 8th verse, it says, "But we have a little sister and she hath no breast. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for?" She's immature. She didn't grow up. She's a baby. "There are many virgins, but thou excellest them all." How many times over and over in the Word of God do we have to be hit in the face with, there's a better. This is what this book's about. There's a better. There's a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I may win Him. I have finished my course. I want to finish it by the grace of God. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But notice, 2 verses down, this one didn't have breasts, but uh-oh. "I am a wall," the 10th verse, "and my breasts like towers." I don't mean to make you blush, but this is the Word of God. She's fully developed. She's beautiful. She's awesome. And this is Christ talking about her. Hallelujah. And she fits the dress because she is feeding on the meat. It's her diet. And by the grace of God, she'll be in that white fine linen, which is the righteousness of saints. Then it goes on to say that, getting back into Hebrews here, the 14th verse, it says that she, if you notice there at the end, "even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." She has sense. Did you know that Christians can have sense? And I think that rings true to a lot of us. But Christians can have sense. A lot of Christians don't have sense. They really don't. But godly sense and all their senses. And it can even be developed through the Holy Spirit. Discernment. But it's able to know good and evil. And you know, as you think about that, you think, well, that's stupid. I know what good and evil is. I know the difference. No, it's not stupid. It's not stupid at all. See, the devil is very subtle. And unless you take the full armor of God, unless you take the full armor of God, you're done. You try to match the devil on your own, and you're done. He will twist you. He will twist your mind. He will twist your heart. He'll twist your soul. He'll twist everything about you. And he will. He's powerful. But he's nothing compared to Jesus. And if I have the full arm of God, there's nothing he can do. But see, good in worldly things, the good in worldly, can be devastating to a Christian. You can waste your life in a number of ways. Again, like our pastor said, you can waste it in the gutter, which is very evident. Or you can waste it as a CEO. But even beyond that, do you know that you can waste it as a mom? Do you know you can waste it as a dad? Do you know you can waste it sitting in a pew? If Christ isn't first in your life, you're wasting it. He wants you to have God's best. He does. That's precious. Any child of God going to heaven, that's a wonderful thought. But there's been such bestowed upon us here. It would be a shame if we didn't take it all. Don't you believe that? I think that's why we're here tonight. This is serious stuff. This is understanding about our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God. And when we yield and grow and believe, the fiery darts of the devil, they just fell hopelessly on the ground. But grace helps us to dwell on the good. But carnal or flesh, when we get that way, we see faults. We get jealous. We get judgmental. We get condemning, etc., 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 etc. All those things that keep you from God's best. Feeding on the meat, we get spiritual. We get the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We get Philippians 4:8. Okay, let's continue on with chapter 6, because this really is chapter 6. We're just going to go right into the first three verses here, because it really is a continuation of thought. So verses 1 and 2 in the 6th chapter, it says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment." There were 6 things we just said there. We'll talk about those. "And this will we do if God permit." Now, verse 1 Copley says, really could be written like this: because you are babes, because this is the continuation. He says, because you are babes, you need to believe it is finished in Christ and move on from the word of the beginning of Christ and go on to full growth. Move on. It's done. It's finished. Don't insult God. You insult him when we don't believe that in his son he completed the work. That's what this is getting at. And it's a precious verse because, again, it's confirming there is endless treasure in Christ, a high calling, a more perfect way, a better way, again, leading to the bride of Christ. Many of the Jews that Paul was speaking to here were having a hard time of moving on from their traditions. That was the thing that they were caught up into, was tradition. It's the same thing we're caught up into today. Tradition. Tradition. The enemy's good about bringing in tradition. And it's true. But we need to move on that Christ is the high priest, that it's completed, finished in him. Moving on to the meat. These are the ones that are unwilling to go without the camp, just like Christians today, neglecting the word, dull of hearing. Why do we go to church? I think that's a silly question. I know why we go to church here. We go to church to hear the word of God. Why do most people go to church? They don't really go to hear the Word of God. Mm-mm. Tradition? Really? You know? Entertainment? Whatever it may be. Know that you're here. You come to church not for social activities, but to grow. To grow. To get faith. To get the Word of God. To get faith in your life. To go out there and face tomorrow. And to realize to have the faith I'm just going to be in today. There's enough evil in today to think about tomorrow. I was talking to a couple of young men about that today. I start thinking about what's going to happen then and this and that. I'm totally overwhelmed. Today, today, today is that salvation. Hallelujah. But such a precious, precious, precious verse. Now, they were reverting back to babes, self-works. They had no vision, and without a vision, the people perish, as we know in the Word of God. But the foundation, Christ, has been laid. Now build upon it. And again, these ones were just laying that foundation again, just like the one that said, "Lord, save us from death. Lord, forgive my sins. He did it. That's done. It's finished. Just as if I've never sinned. Justified. He justified you. Praise God. Praise God. Believe it. Build on it. Paul's encouraging growth in the spiritual and strength in the things and the ability to feed on the meat. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, it's laid. It's telling us to build on it. Okay, let's go on. Let's go on. Let's know that it's finished. Let's know that I don't need to go to confessional. I don't need to do these things. I need to believe that He finished it and now go on to the meat. Go on to my inheritance. Hallelujah. All right. We're going to talk about these principles here. Lord willing, we'll get maybe through a couple few of them here. But the first principle teachings of Christ laid the foundation of six significant and essential basics in the life of a Christian. And those six are laid out in verses 1 and 2. And again, before we start this, it's one time. That's why it's talking about this. It was once. It doesn't need to happen again. It's just one time. Now we're going to think all these six things happening one time. Now we remember them. It's precious to remember them. But it's already been laid. We don't pull it back up. It's laid down. It's done. It's the foundation. First one is repentance from dead works. This is conversion, regeneration, repentance from a dead state. This is magnified again. Go over to Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Verses 24 through 26. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. And I was just talking to a young man about this today. I said, it's been nailed to the cross. Well, what was nailed to the cross? He's just starting in the Word of God. And they got him in a study in Daniel on Revelation. I said, man. I said, I don't even know if I'm ready for a study in Daniel and Revelation. I said, you need to get in John. We need to start there, you know, and start moving on. Now, I'm thankful that anybody's going into the Word of God. Don't get me wrong. But the ones teaching him aren't teaching him. I said, they're starting to teach you flesh. You were saved by grace with them. Wonderful. That's what the Bible says. But now you're going to get perfect through the flesh, aren't you? Yeah. Okay. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. And you know, if you have a Schofield, it's precious to understand about this law again. There's three parts to that. If you jump down to Schofield's note in two, there's the commandments that were part of the law, the judgments that were part of the law, and the ordinances were part of the law. And I don't want to get into that. That might be something for you to study. But it's more than just the commandments. They had ordinances and judgments too. And that's what this young person, this man was getting about was, well, which part's the law? All of it. It was all nailed there. There was nothing that was left out. Okay? All right. And as it says here, it says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. And what was the schoolmaster? The law. How much more clear does it have to be? Grace, 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 grace. I'm going to run that race by grace. Hallelujah. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by works, by flesh, by being carnal, by holding on. Nope, by faith. By faith in Christ Jesus. Now we know that. Now let that sing and ring and just live in our hearts. Hallelujah. So again, Hebrews 9:14 is another good verse. Write that down. We'll get to that, Lord willing. We are a new creation in Him. One time, moving on. The Old Testament, these were ceremonies that they had, dead works. And that's what they are. These ceremonies are dead works. But death and resurrection of Christ was sufficient for repentance. The next one is faith toward God. Faith toward God. In this case, it was as babes. And they couldn't grow in neglect. They couldn't grow until they were going to cease from their own works. And they couldn't grow because they were in unbelief. But when one grasps the meaning and the power of Christ, His death and resurrection, you start to grow in grace, don't you? You start to grow in faith. Praise the Lord. And you're strengthened to eat the meat. And one thing that Copley points out, and I appreciate this, that you notice that repentance from dead works and faith toward God are always together. They're always together. Because one cannot exist without the other, if you really think about that. Repentance from dead works and faith towards God, it has to happen together. And again, that it should be laid once, never pulled up, never to be laid again, over and over in the Word of God. It is finished in Him. It is finished in Him. Romans 8:35. Let's just turn there. This is something many struggle with. And I pray it doesn't happen with most of us here. But who shall separate us from the love of Christ? When you become a Christian, you are in the love of God. It's all over you. It's in you. You have everlasting life. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecutions, famine, nakedness, peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake are ye killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. If you've got a problem, you shouldn't have one. You're more than a conqueror. I'm talking to myself. I believe I'm talking to some of you too. More than conquerors. Seize that. You're victorious in Him. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature or created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Awesome. Do you know how safe you are? There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care where your mind is right now. If you're a child of God, nothing will separate you. Live that peace. Live that rest. When we really live that, that's when we'll cease from our own works and know that, God, it's your job. It's your job. You created this mess. You take care of it. I'm talking about me and just me. Not a lot of the messes that are created. I did that myself. But He takes care of it. And even when I do create a mess, He's faithful, isn't He? Praise God. Praise God that He is always there. And that's what He wants from us. He just wants us to understand that He'll take care of it. He doesn't will all those mistakes, don't get me wrong, but He allowed them. He allowed David to do those awful things. He did. But look where it got his heart. He realized at that time when he committed those wicked, wicked things, that if he ever thought that there was a way that he could get himself back in favor of God, it was over. That the only thing he could do is believe that He loved him. And say, Lord, I love You. I love You. I love You. Isn't that precious? I'd like to do one more here. Just get through half of them, Lord willing. Doctrine of baptisms. This is including the baptism of water as well as the baptism of spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:12-13. The ordinance of baptism is a foundation that needs to be laid, daily remembered, but not repeated. I've known some people that have gone back and over and over and over and gotten baptized. I know some people that continue to go down on altar calls. Okay, who wants to get saved? You know, an old Joe comes down here about for the 12th time in 2 years. I don't mean to laugh, but it's laughable, cryable. It's done. It's done. You'll never grow from that state if you don't believe Christ has finished it. But that's everything in our life. Everything. We need to get out of ourselves and again, allow Him once and for all. Again, much Christianity is caught into this. Why Christians seldom continue in a church? Why do they jump churches all the time, looking, searching, ever learning, never coming to a knowledge? If this word doesn't satisfy you, you're going to jump around. You're going to go out there and search and rake through garbage. And it's not because of this place or anybody in it. It's because of Christ. And He'll give us that word in its fullness. But repeating the foundation is never believing it. Instead, by the grace of God, we need to trust that it's there. Move on to the exceeding riches. And again, without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision, Christians spiritually die. They do. The fruit doesn't come out of their lives. Just like these men that I met this last week. Precious, precious men. I know the Lord, there's a zeal there. But it stopped. And to think that my brother, really, I've never taken it more personal than the Lord has put it on my heart now. I mean, that's my brother. I want them to have that. I do. And I think it's a wonderful thing to want them to have it. You know that? Sometimes you'd like to shake them up and say, "Take it!" I'm going to slap it into you. But that's not how it works. I tried that a couple of times. It don't work. But you love them. You love them and you love them and you draw them with love. And that's what Christ is all about. And that's what, by the grace of God, I think, keeps us excited for Him. It's like, you know, it's like seeing your girlfriend come off that plane. I always appreciated that about my wife when she'd come see me. That's when the Lord really was dealing with me about the Bride of Christ. 17 years old. I remember going down to, that was old Stapleton Airport at that time. She'd be getting off that plane. I'd be thinking about her and my heart was, I can't even tell you where my heart was. And it was just jumping out of my body, going so fast, pitter-patter, pitter-patter. Jesus is becoming like that to me. He's coming like that to me. It's awesome. He wants that in our lives. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, again for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you're here and your spirit's here. And Lord, what a privilege. What a precious privilege. Help us to just realize who we are in you. Help us to realize what we have in you. And again, we ask that you just work this effectually in each of our lives here as we go. Lord, if you tarry, bring us back for Friday night prayer meeting. Bring us back for Sunday services. Lord, let us to have that yearning to come and feed. Come and feed on you, Lord. That's what it's all about. We want peace. I know these people out here want peace. They want rest. They really do. Help us to know that this is where we're going to get it. This is when we go into your word, when we seek it effectually, Lord, in an open heart, when we pour out our heart to you, you promised you'll bring it to us, Lord. You'll bring it. Help us to know it. We just thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen.